The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, mighty and immortal, you know that as fragile creatures surrounded by great dangers, we cannot by ourselves stand upright. Give us strength of mind and body so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated as we hear a message from Coulter for the young at heart.
We'll try and get seated.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And good morning to all of you, and a special welcome to Lucas. So nice to see you today. So today in the Bible, we get to hear about a funny word, and I'm going to have you all say it after me, okay? And this word is Sabbath.
Ooh, Sabbath.
Yeah, try that again. Sabbath.
Sabbath.
It's kind of a silly-sounding word. And Sabbath is this idea, and they talk about it a lot in the Bible, about a day of rest. Now, I have a question for all of you, and Brigitta, I have a question for you. Do you ever get really tired sometimes? Yeah, Sebastian says, I get tired sometimes, yeah. And when we get really tired, sometimes that makes us a little bit cranky, maybe. And maybe sometimes it makes it so we're not so nice to our family, maybe. Yeah. And that's why it's really important that we take time to rest. So, again, in the Bible, the Sabbath is a day where everybody rests and nobody does any work. And so today what I want you to think about is how important it is to rest. Now, when you rest, what do you like to do? Do you like to take a nap? Yeah, naps are good. And then maybe what are some other ways that you could relax? What do you like to do to relax? During Sunday school, we do breathing exercises. So we take nice deep breaths in and out, and that's a great way to relax. What about maybe a bath? Do you ever like to take a bath to relax? Yeah, bath time's a little bit different when you're younger, but that's okay. Anyway, it's very important that we take time in our life to just have some time where we're resting and relaxing, because it makes it easier for us to love other people. So today, when you think about the word Sabbath, say that with me, Sabbath.
Sabbath.
We think about how important it is for us to rest, okay? All right, now we're going to pray, and to pray, repeat after me.
After me.
Dear God.
Dear God.
We love you.
We love you.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Help us to love others.
Help us to love others.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now we're going to go to Sunday school, and when we go to Sunday school, everyone's going to sing a song for us, and we'll go over to the nursery right over there, okay? And Lucas, you can come with us if you want to, all right? Okay. Sing for us.
Let's sing the Cameroon processional one. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Praise God's holy name. Hallelujah. Praise, praise. Praise the Lord, praise God's holy name, hallelujah. 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 Praise, praise, praise the Lord, praise God's holy name, hallelujah. Praise, praise. Praise the Lord, praise God's holy name, hallelujah. 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 Praise God's holy name, hallelujah.
We hear now the readings from Scripture.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 12. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom, and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I tremble with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God and heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they did not escape, when they refuse the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. Word of life, word of God.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel.
What a mighty word God gives. What a mighty word God gives. Angels speaks, our faith is fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. What a mighty word God gives.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with the spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, but not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day? When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty word God gives. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adores him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God.
You may be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
About 2 months ago, I got a phone call from a lady named Jackie Owens. If you don't know Jackie Owens, she's sitting right over here. Once again, she's being shy because she has given me permission to talk about her in my sermon. And if you don't know her, that's okay. You know, I didn't know her much before about 2 months ago either. Jackie lived up in Paradise and, like so many others, has left since the fire. And she traveled around California, bouncing around between grandchildren for a while, but recently she has found a place to live in a retirement home here. And so once she had settled down, she called up the church office and she asked me if I might know anyone who could give her a ride to church. And she said, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't have a whole lot I can offer to the congregation at this stage in my life. She said, I used to be in charge of hospitality for Paradise Lutheran Church. I would oversee the coffee hour, and whenever some bit for coffee hour was needed, cookies or something, I would drive to the store and grab it. But she said, recently I've gotten forgetful, and they've taken my car from me. And I said, well, you know, lots of folks get forgetful as they get older. And I asked Jackie how old she is. And she said, well, I can't remember. I said, well, maybe it's not such a bad thing then. And she said, you know, I also used to love making quilts. She said, up at the church in Paradise, I made hundreds of quilts, and we would give them out to people in need. We sent them even around the world, even to orphans in Zambia. But she said that when she left her home in Paradise, she left all her sewing equipment behind. And she said, you know, my whole life I've loved to help people whenever I can, in whatever way I can. And she said, you know, when my husband had cancer and he was in the hospital for a really long time, I would notice that the nurses had a lot to do and were often struggling to keep up. So she said, I would just run little errands for them. You know, I'd know what they need, and I'd grab it for them, or I'd go and I'd get them a cup of coffee. And she said that after doing this for weeks, one day she was in the hospital cafeteria, and she heard an announcement calling her name because the nurses had gotten together, and they wanted to present to her a certificate of appreciation for all the ways that she had taken care of them. But Jackie said, you know, I can't do that anymore. I'm new here. I've lost my community. I have nothing that I can offer you in the congregation. And I have noticed how quickly we count the reasons that we can't. We count the reasons that we can't serve God. We count the reasons why we can't make a difference in this world. We count the reasons why we can't matter to someone. And we count those reasons like stones, and we put them in a backpack, and we put it on ourselves until it wears us down and we are bent over. And in Luke chapter 13, it says that Jesus goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and there is a woman there. It doesn't say how old the woman is. Maybe she's forgotten. But to say the woman has been bent over for the past 18 years and unable to stand up straight. And it's true for a lot of folks, when they reach a certain age, they start to bend over. But I find it interesting that Luke says she was bent over because of a spirit. And Jesus says that Satan had kept her bound. And so perhaps it is true that she has a physical ailment that keeps her bent over. But I have found in my life that there's lots of things that cause us to bend over that prevent us from standing up straight in our life. Reasons of fear, reasons of shame, reasons of believing that we're not worth anything. And so often, those take the form of a voice that says to us that we have to count all the reasons that we can't. And sometimes, that voice that says to us to count all the reasons that we can't comes from the inside, like it does for Jeremiah in our reading today from Jeremiah 1. When God says to Jeremiah, I have appointed you to be a prophet to the nations, and Jeremiah's response is to count the reasons why he can't. He says, oh God, I can't do that. I don't know how to speak, for I am just a boy. He's got lots of reasons why he can't. And he picks them up and he puts them in a sack and he puts them on himself, and you can hear him bending over, hunching over. And how often we do that to ourselves, say all the reasons why we can't. We're too young. We're too old. There's lots of reasons we come up with to say someone else is better equipped, better trained, better suited. Let them do the work, because there are lots of reasons that I can't. And sometimes the voice that tells us to count the reasons, sometimes that voice comes from the outside, like it does in our gospel reading today, when the leader of the synagogue, who's probably not a rabbi, otherwise it would have said a rabbi, but maybe like a president of a congregation, sorry, Joel. So the leader of the synagogue, he counts a reason why Jesus can't heal this woman who's been bent over for 18 years. And the reason why he counts is that it's the Sabbath day. It's supposed to be a day of rest. So he says, you can't do work today. It's against God's law. You should have let this woman stay hunched over. And how quickly the world wants to tell us reasons why we can't. And how often the church is a part of telling those reasons, just like in the gospel lesson today. How often people will say, you know, I want to help out with worship, and the church will say, you know, you're too young, you don't know what you're doing, or you're too old, it won't look good for you to be up in front. Or how often someone says, you know, I'd love to lead Bible study, and the church says, you're too quiet, no one will listen to you, or you're too loud, you won't let anyone else get a word in edgewise. Or they say, I would love to serve on the council, and we say, you're too sinful, you won't lead us in the way of God. Or we say, you're too saintly, you won't be wise to the ways of this world. We say, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a leader in the church. And we say, you're too female. Or you're too single. Or you're too committed to loving someone of a gender that we don't like. How often it is in the church that the voice says, let me count for you all the reasons why you can't. Just like the leader of the synagogue does. But it's a curious thing. The church sometimes is upfront with its reasons. Sometimes it waits for people to commit for a while and then pulls out the rug under them. And sometimes the church lets its silence speak all those reasons for people just by forgetting about them. And to say, I am aware that I, as a leader of a church, have done these things from time to time. And I could hear in Jackie's comment when she asked if someone might be able to give her a ride, and then quickly said, but I don't have anything to offer. I could hear in that comment that perhaps she too heard a voice, whether from within or without, that was saying to count the reasons why she couldn't, and why no one else should then care. And it broke my heart, and I said to Jackie, well, you know what, of course, let me ask around. And as I asked around, Jim Kirks, who's currently sitting next to her, very kindly said, I would gladly take her to church. It would be my honor, I think is his exact wording. And so on the Sunday, when he was the first supposed to come and bring her to church, I looked out, eager to see them together, and I only saw Jim. Jim gave me permission to tell the story. And at the passing of the peace, I shook Jim's hand, and Jim said, I forgot to pick up Jackie. I can only imagine what it would have been like for the woman in our gospel lesson who for 18 years was hunched over, and at last Jesus sets her free and she can stand up, and then the leader of her synagogue says to her, nope, you can't do it. Let me count one more reason why you can't come and praise God. We should have forgotten about you. And the amazing thing is the leader of the synagogue gives a reason. He says, God's law says you're supposed to rest on the Sabbath. And he uses that to tell Jesus why he can't. But Jesus responds not by rejecting God's law. Jesus responds by doubling down on God's law, of going deeper into God's law. Jesus says, you hypocrites. He says, each of you on the Sabbath, you untie your ox and your donkey, and you untie it from the manger, and you lead it to give it water. And in that, Jesus reminds the people of his congregation, Deuteronomy chapter 5, where God lays out once again the Ten Commandments, in which God says you need to take a day of rest, not just you. God says your sons and your daughters, your slaves, and God says your ox and your donkey should also get a day of rest, all your livestock and all the alien residents in your land. And then God says, remember. Remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and that I, the Lord your God, brought you out of slavery with a mighty hand. Therefore, you shall keep the Sabbath. Which is to say, we are given the commandment to keep the Sabbath so that we aren't slaves anymore. Because even if we don't have someone behind us with a whip, if we spend every day of our lives working ourselves to the bone, what good is it that we are free? We have made slaves of ourselves. And so God gives us the commandment to take a day of rest so that we can have life and so that we can have freedom. And in fact, this is the meaning of all God's laws. All God's commandments are given to us so that we might have life and so that we might have the freedom to enjoy it. And at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in the book of Luke, Jesus goes into a different synagogue. And he sits down, and first he reads a scroll from the prophet Isaiah where it says, the Lord has anointed me. He says, to proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, to bring sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And having read all this, Jesus rolls the scroll back up, and then says, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Because Jesus is the fulfillment of God's law. Jesus is the fulfillment of all God's law, because all God's law is meant to give us life and freedom, and Jesus is life and freedom. And Jesus brings life and freedom to the woman in this congregation, to this woman who has been hunched over for 18 years and unable to stand up straight, perhaps because of all those reasons she has counted as to why she can't. But Jesus says, stop counting the reasons why you can't. Because Christ is the only reason that counts. And Christ counts this woman as a daughter of Abraham. Christ counts her as a beloved child of God, and when he does so, she is set free. She is set free, and she stands up straight and praises God. And in our first reading today from Jeremiah, when Jeremiah wants to count all the reasons why he can't, that he's too young, that he's too inexperienced, God places in Jeremiah's mouth the word of God. The word of God is Christ. The word of God is Christ, and Christ has come to bring us life and freedom. And so God says to Jeremiah, I have known you before I knit you together in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I consecrated you. To say Christ has been in Jeremiah before the beginning of time, because it is not Jeremiah who will go and proclaim God's word. It is God who will work through Jeremiah, just as God works through each and every one of us. It is God's power. that sets people free, that transforms this world. So we don't need to count all the reasons that we can't, because Christ is the only reason that counts. I was blessed this past week to be visited by a good friend of mine from middle school, from Milton Freewater, Oregon. His name's Elliot, and Elliot is Jewish. And as he was visiting me, I was talking to him about the scriptures I was going to preach on today, and he said, you know, most of the time, when we read Jeremiah 1 in the synagogue, we also read it together with a passage from Numbers chapter 27. And in Numbers chapter 27, there's a story about a man named Zelophehad. Zelophehad. Say that with me. Zelophehad. Anyone heard that name before? I will admit it was the first time I'd ever heard the name before. But the story of Zelophehad is that he dies. He dies and he has a lot of daughters, but he has no sons. Now, the law at the time was that if you die, your inheritance goes to your sons, and daughters can't inherit. They can't inherit anything. And the idea is your sons are supposed to take care of their unmarried sisters with their father's inheritance. But these daughters of Zelophehad, they had no brothers, no brothers to inherit for their father. And because they had no brothers, they also couldn't inherit directly themselves, and so they had nothing. But they said to themselves, God's law is not meant to bring us poverty. It's not meant to enslave us to the whims of others. It's not meant to bring us death. They knew that God's law was meant for life and for freedom. And so these women, though they had no legal standing, though they had no reason to believe that they would be heard, they go to Moses and they say to Moses, change the law so that we as women can inherit. They didn't count the reasons that they can't. They knew that the reason that counted was Christ. Now, my friend Elliot would never phrase it that way, but he agrees with me that the purpose of the law is to bring life and freedom, and that these daughters of Zelophehad, they knew that purpose. And so they clung to it, and so they were bold enough to go and say to Moses, you've got the law wrong. And you know what? God agreed. God says to Moses in Numbers 27, change the law. Change the law so that these daughters can inherit, so that they might have life and freedom, for that is the purpose of the law. And anytime we claim the law is to be used otherwise, anytime we use the law to bring slavery and death, we have misused God's law, and Christ has come to set us free from that misuse, just as Christ does for his congregation in the gospel lesson this day. Because when the congregation says, God's law says, we cannot set this woman free. Jesus says, I am the reason that counts, and I am life, and I am freedom. And he says, you know better than that. You know God's law has come to set this woman free, because each of you on the Sabbath day, you untie your ox or your donkey. You untie it from the manger and you lead it to give it water, to say, if you know how to set your animals free, how much more should you know how to set each other's free on this day of God's rest, to set us free, not just from the burdens of work, but from the burdens of all the things that weigh us down. To say, on this day we have come to set us free from counting all the reasons that we can't. And we who have gathered here in this church, we have come and gathered to proclaim that the only reason that counts is Christ. And so let us shake off all our sin and our shame and cling to what is eternal, to what is of God. Let us shake off our sin and our shame, even the sin and shame of forgetting to bring Jackie to church. Because I will tell you what, Jim felt a lot of sin and shame that Sunday. And so hat in hand, after the worship service, he picked up some cookies from coffee hour, and he went over to the retirement home where Jackie was. And he came to make a heartfelt apology, expecting to be chewed out. But what he found instead was Jackie standing up straight, praising the Lord. She said to Jim, you know, I was sitting in the balcony of this home waiting for you to pick me up. And I was sitting there a long time. And there was another lady also sitting on the balcony, and it was just the two of us. No one else was around, and I started to notice that other lady started to go pale, started to get real stiff, started to have cold sweats. And Jackie said, I knew something was wrong, but there was no one else there who saw that woman. There was no one else there who could do anything to help that woman, but I was there. Jackie was there. Christ had put Jackie at that place in that moment, and she cried out. She called for help, and they rushed that woman to the hospital. To say that day, Jackie may have helped save her life. And so when Jim came, he found her not counting all the reasons why she couldn't. He found Jackie knowing that Christ was the only reason that counts. And that Christ had counted on her in that moment to set a woman free on a day of rest. To say each of us is empowered by God to do this work, to fulfill the commandments of God to bring life and freedom to one another. It may not always be in the ways that we expect, but it can be as simple as letting your animals off a leash so that they can have freedom on a day. It can be as simple as noticing someone who has been forgotten and lifting them up in that moment so that they may know that they are loved. And it may be like Jeremiah that you are called to preach to the nations God's prophetic word of truth and justice. I don't know. But I know this, that whenever a voice comes to you and says, you should count all the reasons you can't, say in response, no, because I know that the only reason that counts is Christ. And Christ has counted me from before I was knit together in my mother's womb. From before I was born, God has consecrated me to be a part of Christ, to go forth, to set this world free. And so may we, like that woman who had been bent over for 18 long years, stand up straight, hand of Christ, and proclaim God's praise. Amen.